the means in which we are able to do all things without complaining and grumbling, to work out our salvation and thus become blameless and innocent children of God above reproach, is through holding fast to the word of life, paying close attention to the word of life, speech of the living word of God from the living God, the God of the word.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, the message today reveals a truth that many of us know, but may have forgotten or even taken for granted.
And Dave, ironically, the most important things in life are so easy to overlook. Now, in today's broadcast, we're going to look at a simple yet crucial truth for our spiritual well-being. So what is it? Well, let's take a look together as we turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We have also this word used in Acts chapter 19, verse 22. It's translated stayed. Well, that's interesting. It speaks concerning Paul, who stayed or held fast in Asia for a while. It's translated also, that was by Luke. Those are three by Luke. Now the other one by Paul is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Hold on to the teaching. Look at what you're doing personally and hold on to the teaching. Pay close attention. Indeed, in the King James, it's translated, take heed. Pay attention to yourself and your teaching. Take heed to your teaching. There's a cognate of this word we see in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Not ep echo, but ant echo. But it means basically holding fast. We see it translated. Holding onto, grasping unto oneself the faithful word. Speaking of elders. So, but what does our passage mean? Which one is it? Well, certainly, we see in Scripture our behavior might open the door to share why we have hope, and that's through the gospel. Absolutely. But our passage talks about continually, habitually holding it forth. So the question is, do we continually, habitually hold the word forth to a dark world? Does that happen all the time? Is that what we're going to do all the time? Did Jesus do that all the time? Do we continually, habitually hold it forth? I don't think so. I think we do it with discernment. As the Lord opens doors, we share the word of God. Secondly, this passage, the context actually mitigates against the idea of sharing the gospel, holding it out, but actually supports holding it towards ourselves. You see, if we hold the word fast, the word of God, from the teachers that teach us, like Paul taught them, if we hold fast that, it's going to change our behavior. We're going to be blameless and innocent above reproach in the midst of a dark world, and it's going to bring glory to God in eternity when we see what God did through us. And Paul talks about it in the very same verse, that you didn't run in vain. Hold fast the word, you Philippians, so that in the day of Christ, I can glory in what Christ did through you, that all that word going to you wasn't in vain. You held on to it. So the context, I think, also points to the fact that it probably is holding personally onto the word ourselves, although we do place it forward to others. See here, so both translations are possible, and a lot of Bible teachers go different ways, but I think it's holding fast, as it's translated in your Bibles, the word of God. Setting my attention to it. Paying close attention, as we see in 1 Timothy 4:16, paying close attention to it. Holding fast the word of life. We're to pay close attention to the word of life. Brothers and sisters, there's no way you can do things without complaining and grumbling. There's no way you can work out your salvation with fear and trembling without holding fast the word of God. As we'll see. But notice he says here, not simply the word of God. He says, holding fast, back in our passage, verse 16, the word of life. Now, we've already implied an answer to this question, but what is the word of life? What's the word of life that we are holding fast to continually, habitually, brothers and sisters? What is that? Well, first of all, the only other place that this exact Greek phrase is used is in 1 John 1:1. Let me read this for you. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, this is Apostle John, what we have beheld with our hands and handled concerning the word of life. Speaking of Jesus Christ, right? The word of life. We know certainly that Jesus is the Word incarnate. He is what God wants us to know about Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in 1 John 1:1, he speaks of Jesus as the Word of life. You see, it is Christ who manifests the reality of life to a dead world, a world that is dead in sin. You see, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. He came to bring life, spiritual life, a relationship with the living God, eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the one and only true God, and Your Son whom Thou hast sent, John 17. He came to bring that. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the means in which we experience true life through a relationship with Him because of faith in Christ Jesus, who brought about the forgiveness of sins through His death and then resurrection. Indeed, Jesus is the bread of life who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, John 6:33. So is our passage speaking of holding fast to Jesus? Is that what it is? It's a possibility. But we have to address these interpretive challenges here. I think most likely it's speaking of the Word of God that comes from the God of the Word. We had this read earlier, but turn to John chapter 6. You see, we can hold fast to Jesus, practically speaking, but what we hold fast to is what He said. We hold fast to what He said, and then we trust in Him based on what we know about Him from His Word. We don't hold on to a Jesus in our own minds that we make up and think about and feel nice about. We hold on to the Jesus who is revealed in Scripture and the one who died for our sins, as we see. John 6, verse 67. Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away also, do you?" Hey, the church was getting pretty small at that time. Those who wanted to follow Jesus decided not to follow Him anymore, basically, because things were too difficult for them to understand, too difficult for them to accept, because they didn't have ears to hear. And He says to His disciples, to the 12, "You don't want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You see, Jesus Christ is the life, and it is His Word that reveals the life, and it's His Word that He uses to bring forth life. It's through the Word of God that we are born again, through the living and abiding Word of God, the truth concerning Jesus Christ. It is through His Word that we grow in respect to salvation. It is by His Word that we interact and relate with Him. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. It's my belief here that the means in which we are able to do all things without complaining and grumbling, to work out our salvation and thus become blameless and innocent children of God above reproach, is through holding fast the Word of life. Paying close attention to the Word of life. Speech of the Word of God, the living Word of God from the living God, the God of the Word. This is key. Renewing your heart and mind with the Spirit-inspired Word, holding fast to it. What do you pay attention to throughout the day? What things do you think about throughout the day? Do you hold fast in your relationship with Jesus to what He has said? You know, the Great Commission, as it's called in Matthew 28, we're to be taught to obey all that Jesus said, it says. We're to be taught to obey His Word. This is about obedience here, all things without complaining and grumbling. Are you holding fast the Word of God? Are you paying attention to it? Some of you aren't at all. The implication is eternal, we'll see in a minute. The implication is it's going to affect, if you're a true believer, your eternal rewards and your eternity. What you do with the Word today. What you do with the Word each day. Are you paying close attention to it, allowing to change your thinking? You're tempted to argue, you start arguing, you realize, no, it's wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. You confess it. You recognize. You let God's Word direct your thinking. You humble yourself before Him and become obedient. We see here that we are to do all things without complaining and grumbling. We're to be holding fast the Word of life. You see, it's a different demeanor towards God's Word. It's a different desire towards it. We're to hold on to God's Word. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we have God's Word spoken of as His wisdom. As His wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. When you see the word wisdom in the Old Testament, Proverbs, it's speaking of God's wisdom that he brought forth and brings forth that is profitable for believers in the relationship with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18, and this is speaking of wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, and notice what it says. Proverbs 3, 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. God's word, God's wisdom. You hold it to your heart. You hold fast to it. It's everything for you because it's from a real God. It's not just simply memorizing Bible verses and going to sermons. You need to do that, but it's a real heart that's right in the midst of that. Holding fast the word of God. What about Psalm 1? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It's a changed demeanor and attitude towards the God of the Word. I want to hear his voice. I want to obey his voice. I want to be changed. I'm holding on to it. I'm holding fast to it. It's an absolute requirement of elders. They are to be holding fast the faithful word, Titus chapter 1:9. Everything is in the context of that grasp of his word in your heart, which will then apply to everything you do. What about Proverbs chapter 4? Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3. And again, speaking of God's wisdom, which is his word, which changes our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3. When I was a son to my father, tender and an only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me. I hope you're teaching your kids. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Well, his word was the word of God. Do you tell your kids, hold fast the word of God? Do you want them to be in the word? Do you want them to hold on to it? Don't let your thoughts reign your life. Let God's word reign your life. The mind of Christ. He said, let your heart, hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Start getting it in your heart. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Then look down at verse 13, chapter 4 of Proverbs. Take hold of what? Instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Folks, from our innermost being come the springs of life. Renew your heart and mind with the word of God. Hold fast to it. Not in a mechanical, non-relational way, but recognizing it's the word of God, empowered by his spirit. It's from God to us, and he uses it to change us. We are to be holding fast the word of life. Are you obeying that command, brother and sister? When something comes upon you and shakes you off your kilter, are you holding fast his word, or are you complaining and grumbling? Someone comes across you, says something you don't like, are you holding fast his word, trusting in him, or are you arguing? Are you holding fast the word of life? You see, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God working in you. We should be holding fast the word of God. So are you doing so? If you don't, in every area of your life, you're not going to respond rightly. You got to hold fast the word of God in every area. Pull it close to your heart. Treasure it in your heart. Treasure what God says. Change your thinking, brothers and sisters. Now notice, we're to hold fast the word of God. Back to our passage in Philippians. We're to hold fast because in the day of Christ, the labor of the word done unto us will have eternal significance. Look at here again. Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that for the reason of in the day of Christ, I may have cause to glory, Paul says, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. He's talking about the reality of how he toiled and he labored in the word for the Philippians. He labored bringing it to them. He labored instructing them. He labored in that. And the toil that he had in that could either be spiritually beneficial or glorifying to God in eternity or not, based on the response, whether one holds it fast or not. You see, if you don't hold fast the word I preach, it's going to be a sad time in the time of rewards when we see what was done was in vain. And I wonder how many people here, this preaching that you have heard week after week after week, will be in vain on the day of Christ. I pray it isn't so. The Apostle Paul says, hold fast so it won't be that way. And I say, hold fast so it won't be that way. The term toil speaks of exhausting labor. Colossians 1:28, Paul says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man, hold to instruction, with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. Colossians 1:29, and for this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. He says, for I don't want you to be unaware of the struggle. The struggle, he says, I have on your behalf and those in Laodicea. And for all who have personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, they may be knit together in love. Hold fast the word of God, that you would be changed. And it's an eternal change, by the way, that will bring God glory forever. He says, so that in the day of Christ. What's the day of Christ? Paul's already spoken of it in chapter 1 twice. We have a similar term in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the day of Christ is not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is God's eschatological judgment upon sinners. But here, the day of Christ is related to the completion of our salvation, the culmination of our salvation for the body of Christ. Philippians 1:6, for I am confident for this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it up to or to the day of Christ Jesus. We see in Scripture that when Christ comes for his bride, the church, when the body of Christ is taken away to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, when we are there with him, our salvation will be complete. When we see him, 1 John 2, we will see him as he is and we will be as he is, it says. 1 John 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power. Tremendous reality. You see, our salvation will be completed. And at that time, what we did in the body now, how we responded to the word, how we held fast or not, will have eternal implications, because our holding fast will be manifest in our actions and our deeds, which will be judged in the body. Folks, there is a judgment day for believers, but not for sin. And that's what Paul's speaking of here. He wants to praise and glorify God in that day because the Philippians held fast the word, and thus they were rewarded for that, and Christ was glorified, as we'll see. Rather than having run in vain, where in that day where God shows what's really going on in the hearts of people. Now, there are fakers and make-believers that they're not even going to be there because they're going to be judged for their sin. But the true believers who didn't hold fast the word of God, it's going to be evident. And all the work that went forth will be totally in vain. I don't want that to happen. Paul didn't want that to happen. Look at Romans chapter 14. We'll finish up here. Romans 14, verse 10. And the Apostle Paul is addressing the weaker, stronger brother. The weaker brethren is saying, hey, you can't do those things. You know, is basically judging. And the stronger brother is looking down with contempt. Hey, we have the freedom in Christ. And so he's commanding them not to do either, because we're all standing before the judgment seat. Romans chapter 14, Romans 14, 10. But why do you judge your brother? That's the weaker judging the stronger in context. Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? That's the stronger versus the weaker. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is the judgment seat of God. This is the day of Christ, as we're going to see, where he is on the throne judging, rewarding or not. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's going to be a day where everything is exposed and revealed. And the work that I did in sharing the Word of God with you week after week after week, if you held fast, will change your life because it's God's Word, not because of me, but because of God by His Spirit. And it will show in eternity and give God glory forever. But if you don't hold fast the Word, it'll be in vain towards you. What a shame. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. Speaking of giving the word of God. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day of Christ, I believe, will show it. Because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built upon, remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. There's a day in which our deeds will be judged. Believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll finish up with that. 2 Corinthians 5. There's a day where it's all going to be shown. Now, if you're not a make-believer, a faker, you know, if you're a true believer. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Therefore, also, we have as our ambition, whether home or absent, he's speaking about them being at home in the body or absent from the body, to be pleasing to him. Notice what he says, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, that each one may be what? Recompensed for his deeds in the body. That's right now, brothers and sisters. According to what he has done, whether good or bad. Uh-oh. Recompensed. Now, where sin isn't the issue, it's rewards. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you. Hold tightly to what you are taught. Personally, and through those who teach you, hold tightly to the word of God so that in the day of Christ, God will get all the glory when we see what God did through what I shared with you and what he did through his word with others who shared with you. When we see what God did, and it will manifest in your deeds, which will be judged on that day. It'll either be all for glory or all for vanity or loss. Are you holding fast the word of God? Are you holding fast? Stop complaining and grumbling and hold fast the Word of God in every area of your life. I began by speaking about what do we cling to? What do we cling to? I hope you cling to the Word of God. That should be the most important thing in your life. Yes, we do other things. We have families, we have friends, we have work, we have the things we do. But underlying that, there is a tight grip in our hearts holding on to the Word of God. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Take hold of it. Don't walk out of here and let it go, what you heard today. Hold on to it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what are some of your closing thoughts for us?
Well, Dave, the message of today's broadcast is about holding fast the word of life. And this is absolutely crucial that we hold fast to the truth of God from the word of God so that we would be transformed and reflect the character of Christ. So I pray we're not treating it lightly, but that we've been encouraged and determined to hold fast the word of life to the very end till we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.